Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our reading today shows us a deeply dysfunctional family. Resentment and a violent disposition lead to a murder plot that does not respect the closest bonds of the blood. Now, those of you who were the older siblings might feel a slight sympathy with the older brothers. After all, Joseph is a snitch. He's Dad's favorite, and Dad gives him presents you never got. Plus, he has these dreams that show you in the dirt before him. But even if you had a bad case of sibling rivalry, the worst you did was probably hit your younger sibling. You didn't kill him or her, or you lied on your application form here for the seminary. So in our story, there's first Joseph, who, though he even is the second youngest, is chosen by God to have a special role above and beyond his older brothers. Custom was at that time that the younger serves the older, not the other way around. God is here choosing not according to the structures of authority and power of the world, but by his free choice. He is actually subverting those structures. And you can see that later, as David was the youngest of his brothers, and to Samuel the least likely. But nevertheless, he was the one who was to be anointed king. What is on top according to the world's standards is not the closest to God and is not the most important to his plan, as is shown here with Joseph in David and in the makeup, for example, of the Corinthian congregations, of which St. Paul writes, "For consider your call, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." The strong and the wise bowed down later before the wisdom of the strength of the cross. But God shows in these acts that godliness is not an extension of the wisdom and power of this world, but something radically different. This serves us as a reminder that we do not fall into the trap of conforming to the pattern of this world, but see that God chooses what is weak and foolish. And the epitome of that is that God has chosen to redeem the world through the shameful execution of his Son on the cross. That is foolishness. It was at the time of Paul, it is foolishness today. We see that not only in the unbelievers who scoff the gospel, but we see that also when we look at those who call themselves Christians but push the cross to the edge. Those who preach a prosperity gospel give up the foolishness of the cross and the God that does not simply fit the mold of a consumerist society. They might fill stadiums, but they have established a new ideology. Those who preach a God that serves to fulfill your needs so that you become whole and feel better about yourselves, they have exchanged the wisdom of this world for the foolishness of God. Joseph and his brothers are not simply a dysfunctional, semi-barbaric tribe of that kin that today straps explosives around their waists and then they go to the market and blow themselves up in as many people as possible. Then you might discard the story as another tale of violent Middle Easterners. Fortunately, we are much more civilized. This family, Jacob's family, this is the chosen people. This is the church of its time. It's a church full of sin and violence. Pretty bad. And the word of God seems not to be very successful in this congregation where brothers plan murder against brother. With all the problems congregation face today, they start looking quite good compared to Jacob's family. Sometimes pastors might feel like Joseph. As Joseph told the dreams coming from God, and gets a pretty hostile reaction, so a pastor preaching the word of God is not always welcomed and his message gladly accepted. Who are you? Do you think you have the truth solely? You're just in it to make yourself the big guy in a small pond. And that happens not only by those who are outside of the church, but also inside the church. The family of God does look sometimes like the family of Jacob. Now, the amazing thing about all that is that God still does not give up this family. That God still is their God and they are his people. That God sustains his church even though it seems to fall apart in these times of gross immorality. And God even used this story of hatred and violence to sustain Jacob's family, the church of his time, through the time of the drought and the starvation. Strange are these twists, and even the sin of man must serve the preservation of the church. That makes those deeds not less sinful. But the story of Joseph should teach us that God sustains his church in spite of the sin of his members, and that even catastrophes can serve his purpose. Not always we will see it as Joseph saw it at the end, but God does sustain his people today, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen.